Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome back to another fun and exciting edition of Atlanta Business Radio. I'm your host, Stone Payton, and my co-host and producer is also in the studio with us this morning, Mr. Kevin Finn. How you doing, man?
Good morning, Stone. I'm doing great as usual. It's a little rainy outside, though.
It's a little bit wet. Hopefully, it'll dry up a bit. And the team, not all the team, but a lot of the team is headed to Denver this weekend. We're going to go out and do the Oracle Applications Users Group in Denver, Colorado. We're going to do a remote broadcast, so we're getting excited about that.
I'm jealous. I'm going to be stuck here running the station while you guys are gone.
Somebody's got to keep the home fires burning.
Exactly. You guys don't want to take me. You guys don't like me.
Well, you can go on the next one. We're going to be in Dallas the following month. Maybe do you have any boots?
I don't have any boots. I need some cowboy boots. I don't have the accent either.
That'd look good with a red X on the side of the boot.
Mm-hmm. Maybe a Business Radio X logo on my cowboy hat.
Yeah. So this is going to be a great segment. We have with us today with the ProWin folks, who we have a marvelous relationship with and always enjoy visiting with members from that organization. We have with us Patty Farinola. We have Catherine Graham and Anita Paul. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Good morning.
So we want to get caught up on ProWin news here in a little bit, but we also want to learn about your work, about the work that you do. And I think we'll start with you, Patty. Tell us a little bit about the Awareness Studio. What are you out there trying to do for folks?
My main focus is to help people have great love relationships. I primarily work with women, but from finding the right man to keeping him and having a great relationship to even getting out of bad relationships, that's my main claim to fame. I also teach a class called Serenity, Power, and Freedom, which is really, so you know the saying, the quality of your life is dependent on the quality of your relationships, right? Well, what is the quality of your relationships dependent on? Your self-awareness, your self-certainty. So I taught relationship classes for 7 years and found that people were missing that one piece, that self-certainty. And my Serenity, Power, and Freedom class addresses that piece.
Now, you must see some real patterns, some of the same things over and over and over again. What are some, I don't know if mistakes is the right word, or challenges, what are some of the things that you see over and over again that you feel like with just a little bit of counsel from you, you can help them get back on the right track?
You know, one of the things that I see a lot is that people expect things out of relationships that aren't reasonable to expect. So a lot of the work that I do is just educate people on how relationships work versus what you expect them to do. We have such a Hollywood fantasized ideal of what relationships look like. Like, one of the big misconceptions is that relationships are hard and that they should be easy. But that's not true. Relationships shouldn't be hard or easy. But when we expect them to make us feel better and to not be what they're supposed to be, which is our teachers, relationships are our teachers. They help us grow. Then just resetting the expectations and giving people tools to have good communication and know what they need and how to ask for it makes all the difference in the world.
How do you get people to change that thought process, though? Because it's so ingrained in you. I'm watching movies on a weekly basis, and we want that romantic, really chaos love.
It's true, isn't it? Yeah. Well, you know, I work with people on three levels. There's a practical level, a personal level, and a spiritual level. And on the practical level, what are the words you need to say? Who are you interacting with? How are you interacting with them? So it's looking at behavioral patterns and bad habits that we get into. And then the personal aspect is, what is your expectation of relationships and what are the things that you do that get in the way of having the love that you want? And then on the spiritual front, that's the place where we go find our self-certainty. And what I mean by self-certainty is, you know how we know that the sun rises in the morning and sets in the evening? We know that. I can't talk you out of that one. That's a certainty that is so solid, it's not movable. Well, most of us don't know ourselves with that level of knowing, mm-hmm. that certainty. And so the spiritual component, which is why I teach my class Serenity, Power, and Freedom, that spiritual component lays the foundation for perspective and resilience. And that's how, when we know ourselves that well, we don't have problems in relationships.
Now, do you find yourself working with couples and individuals?
I do. I work with both couples and individuals. I started my practice working with single women and helping them not be single anymore. And I did such a good job of that that they now bring their men to me. And we have great premarital counseling and in-marriage counseling. And so it's just kind of grown from there.
So how does it work to begin with? So I get intrigued by the conversation, and I feel like Holly and I should invest more in our relationship. And if I want to do it together, I probably need a little coaching on how to express this idea with Holly, right? Because she might say, hey, if you think you need it, go ahead.
Yeah, good for you, but not for me, right? That happens a lot, too.
So there's that piece to it. And then maybe you can walk us through maybe a little coaching on how to get that set up, but also just kind of walk us through what happens in the early going, whether sign up for a class or have a consultation with you or that kind of thing.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the how do I approach my partner for getting some relationship coaching? That was one of the questions,
yes.
Right? Okay, so the first thing to do is to get in the world of that other person, meaning what does she want? So if you know she wants to have a great relationship with you, then you have a conversation for her about, wow, I love you, I love our relationship, and I've met someone who I think can help us take our relationship to make it even better. Are you interested in doing that? Who's going to say no to that?
Yeah, hopefully she won't.
Yeah.
So you mentioned earlier that you also deal with people getting out of relationships.
Yes.
How does that work? I think it's pretty simple. You say, hey, I don't want to be with you anymore.
Yeah, you would think. You would think, but we get attached. You know, we get attached. And even though we know it's not good for us, even though it's not feeling good, it's comfortable. We get comfortable with that discomfort. And so sometimes that is another place where self-certainty helps you remove yourself from bad situations. So sometimes people have to come to me for a while and get more confident in themselves before they're willing or able to leave a bad situation.
I'm seeing a pattern here. Understanding yourself is the main part of having a good relationship.
He is really smart.
He's very dialed
in. Very good, yeah.
Oh, no, my girlfriend's listening.
Yeah.
Well, no, I suspect we have a much better shot at changing ourselves than we ever would at trying to change somebody else. That's probably a major mistake, right? Trying to change the other person.
You hit the nail on the head.
I learned that from Kevin. I'm all the time trying to change him. Okay, so I've talked with Holly. I've taken your coaching, and she says, all right, Stone, we'll give this a shot. Mm-hmm. And instead of going to the dollar movie on Saturday, we'll go do this thing. What are we going to go do? Are we going to go sit down and visit with you at first, or is there a class we might sign up for and attend at first?
It would be just visiting with me first.
Okay.
If you're interested in the class, it really is a more individual thing. My classes aren't about couples. Really is about that self-certainty that we're talking
right.
about.
Mm-hmm.
But in individual counseling with couples, we look at where are the places where you get stuck with each other? Where do you get upset with each other? What are the patterns? And there are usually patterns. We call that a dance. So you can name the dance. You can name the steps of the dance. You know, my husband and I have one we call block and tackle. He blocks, I tackle, he keeps blocking, I keep tackling, and we're stuck in this endless cycle. So one of the things that I do is I teach couples what that dance cycle looks like and how to interrupt it, and then what's underneath it, because the dance itself is like the tree and the root and the branches. That's what you see on the surface. There are causes that are the roots of that's what we want to get into. Is what's getting triggered. And usually it's a core fear. When we get upset with someone, it's because our core fear is triggered. And that core fear impacts our identity. It scares us because we think, oh, my gosh, I'm not good enough, I'm not lovable, whatever, those kinds of core fears. And once we get there, we are no longer in our adult conscious brain. We are now hijacked by our animal brain. And it is all survival, fight or flight. And so how do you interrupt that, you know? But that's the beauty of relationships, is it teaches us to be more adult, more loving with each other. If you're willing to work on getting out of those bad habits, you can have a great relationship.
Well, now I recognize that the focus is apparently intimate love relationships with a life partner, significant other, but I have to believe much of what you might pick up in those in that class or in that counseling, you could apply to other relationships, friends, family.
Yeah? It's true. How you do one thing is how you do everything. I just did the same. I did a presentation for the National Association of Women Business Owners. I call it relationship issues that wreck your business. And I use the couple dance example for how we do that in our relationships at work. When you're in front of one other person, you are in a couple. It might not be a love relationship, but you are a couple. You are a partner. And whatever triggers you will get triggered wherever you go. It's like the core fear is like a huge cannon that has a very strong radar and a very short fuse. And it sees anything that might resemble an enemy, and it goes off, even if it's not the enemy, because that's how we interpret it. Does that make sense?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So do you find that couples bring – baggage is a term that I've heard people use, and you see something in someone else, and it just vaguely reminds you of something that happened to you 22 years ago. It's not this person's fault, but it dredges up all this stuff.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about. That's right? That canon. That canon is looking for that happening again. So the opportunity is to look at what happened and what you may mean about yourself and how you're carrying that around in your life, and it's interfering with your relationships. I just call it a bad habit. It's something that you learned to do a long time ago that you don't even know that you're doing. It's just life. People upset me. That's what we think is appropriate. But really, it's not. If we had a world full of self-certain adults, we would not have to lock our doors at night. Well, we wouldn't have to legislate whether you drink 32 or 16 ounces of Coke.
So how do we break a problem like that? That seems like it's easy, but you have to keep on repetition. How do you do that?
It is practice. If you want to be good at anything, you have to practice it. But you have to be aware of it first. You have to name it. And that's usually my job, is helping people name where those patterns are and name the steps to get out of it.
Kevin, you have baggage.
Yes.
What exactly are you afraid of? You don't have to say on air. But these are questions you need to consider, and probably we all need to consider.
Right.
So let me switch gears a little bit. How do you go to market with something like this? How do you, for maybe it's a little bit of a crass idea, but yeah, I mean, you gotta make money with this to even be of service to the constituencies you're trying to support. How do you market this stuff?
I do a lot of speaking engagements.
Yeah, you mentioned one.
Yes,
yeah.
I teach a lot of classes, and I've been in the business long enough where right now I run pretty much on word of mouth referrals.
Yeah, I bet a big part of your business is referrals.
Yeah.
And you're pretty good at the whole relationship thing anyway, right?
That's right. I'd like to think so anyway. I'm not perfect, but yeah.
Yeah, well, we want to swing back around before we wrap this show and get everybody's contact information, make sure that our listeners have your coordinates. But with your permission, I want to leave your mic open and invite the other two ladies to the conversation, learn a little bit about their work. And also just want to talk about the impact of ProWin on this thing.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. So, Catherine Graham with Connect and Grow, welcome to the show. Delighted to have you.
Thank you very much. Who are you connecting?
Who are you growing?
Exactly.
What are you doing?
Well, I have been a professional career and life coach for about 5 years, and I recently left my corporate recruiting position to infuse or incorporate coaching and recruiting to do something new and unique in the market.
So you know, it's probably some real parallels.
Absolutely.
To her work, right? To Patty's work.
Right. Absolutely. Well, when you're coaching with individuals, of course, I love Patty. I love your the self-certain philosophy. I also do the same thing, but I love that vocabulary. Oftentimes I find that people don't know what their core values are, their purpose, their passion, their vision for themselves. So they're dissatisfied at where they are or how they're feeling, but they don't really have a clear idea of where they want to go or what's going to make that change important to them. So working with individuals as well as small businesses, I do the same type of coaching. It's all on the clarity of what is your mission, your vision, your purpose.
So what's the backstory on you? How did you fall into all this?
Well, I was telling the ladies backstage in the green room as we were discussing, I think I've been certified since 2008. I think I've been a life coach my entire life, at least since junior high. If you ask my friends and family, I think they'll agree.
Because you're the one that would listen, probably. Not a lot of us were great listeners in junior high. Some of us aren't great listeners now.
I'm the one that was listening and really trying to help them problem solve and also reassuring people that they were fine and that everything was great. In high school and in college, I was, you know, an RA in all the dorms. And so I think I've always had that natural capacity to take on that role.
Now, you take some aim still in your career at helping people get new jobs or helping them advance in their existing career. Is that right?
That's right. I find that most of my clientele, the people that I'm working with, are job seekers or in transition. So they're coming out of marriages, perhaps, and need to get back into the workforce. They're in some kind of a transition within their career. As we know, I've been in this since 2008. What happened in 2008 and 2009 mm-hmm. was devastating mm-hmm. To many folks and many companies. So I became impassioned in helping people rebuild their self-esteem, understand their strengths, how to articulate that, how to represent that in a resume, and step by step grew my coaching practice through that.
What's the biggest pitfall that people really go through when they're trying to find a new career?
If they're out of work, the biggest pitfall is depression, getting out of that social strain where you're not talking about yourself, you're not talking enough, you're not networking enough, because it becomes devastating and overwhelming the more time that goes by without being employed.
Is it like a loss of self-identity? Because I know a lot of people, when you ask them who they are, they lead with their job title. And when they lose that, they don't have that identity anymore. They don't know who they are.
And it can be a very frightening experience for people to be in a networking situation without a job, because they're afraid they're going to get asked, so what do you do?
Right. It can be frightening at the soccer field. I know, as a soccer mm-hmm. parent, you know, we had people go through layoffs. I never have been able to find a real job, so I could always just tell them what I was doing. It wasn't any big deal. But, I mean, you know, we had senior level, you know, vice presidents of big companies. And, you know, at the last game, he was a vice president of something at Coke. And this game, he doesn't quite know what to say. And in this, I hadn't thought about it, but I guess there's this self-esteem thing. That could be huge, right?
We're very connected to our titles. Mm-hmm. We're very connected to our titles. So through the coaching experience, people can rebuild and regain that confidence beautifully, and it would never faze them to walk into a room, employed or unemployed, because I think regardless of where we get our paycheck from, we all have jobs, and we all have titles, and we all have purpose and meaning and passion, and to articulate that and be able to express that and really feel that in our hearts. Mm-hmm.
That's so important. Really is. I have an acronym that I want to share with you. Feel free to use
this.
Because being in the corporate world for 25 years, I sometimes help people in the networking part of their job search. And so I have this acronym, G-O-B-O-M, Go Bomb, get off your butt and open your mouth. Because you never know who – you could be standing in the grocery line and you say, I'm looking for work, and somebody will know somebody. You'd be surprised.
Oh, yeah.
Well, absolutely, that's true. And I will say, in my own personal experience, and a lot of my coaching philosophy does come through what I personally have experienced. And I have never gotten a job or been on a career path or made a transition by filling out an application.
No.
Ever.
Most people don't.
Right.
So I want to really encourage people who are thinking about transitioning to another career, wanting to find a different company, or if you are a true job seeker currently unemployed, to absolutely network. Tell everyone what you're looking for and that you're passionate about it and eager and can't wait to get out there, and if they know of anyone or anything, because your neighbors are going to work in the morning and they are talking to people and listening to people
and most
elevators
people want help,
and
right? Most
everybody
people
wants
can,
to
help.
Help
you.
Yeah, everybody wants to help. So get out there
and tell everyone.
Tell everyone.
That's really what my acronym stands for. Just tell everyone.
Tell
you just
everyone.
Never know when that person, that it's like a treasure hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to look under a lot of rocks to find that treasure.
And oh, yeah.
So the more you talk about it, the easier your treasure hunt is.
What's the best way for people to get out there and network? Because I know a lot of people think they're going to pay their $50, $100, go to these networking mixers, grab a couple drinks, maybe hand out a couple business cards, but that's not really networking, is it?
Well, absolutely, that is networking. But when you're unemployed, the $50, the $100 fee, I mean, forget about it. So listen, Atlanta is a phenomenal environment for networking. And you can go to associations. They have their morning or afternoon meetings every week. Then they have a monthly social that might be $10. get your business cards, go spend the $10, but really talk to people. Find out what they're doing. You don't really have to talk about yourself very much. Just ask questions, get their business card. Then you can follow up with them later. It's perfect. But then you don't have to feel like you have to be overly prepared when you go into these environments with, you know, having to reiterate your resume, so to speak.
The elevator speech.
Right? I love that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Elevator speech.
It's like a date. Just ask them questions. You'll be fun.
Just ask them questions. Find out where they work.
You're good.
What they like about their job, how long they've been doing it. Can I get your card? Then move on to the next person.
Well, this is probably a good place to ask about ProWin, because all three of you are part of this organization. Mm-hmm. And we'll stay with you for a moment. If we can, Catherine, tell us a little bit about ProWin, mission, purpose, and what you're getting out of that.
Well, I've been a member for the past 2 years, and I've absolutely loved it. I got involved through another associate who said, hey, I'm involved with this women's networking organization, and it's done wonders for me, and you might enjoy it too. So I visited. I joined. The women are professional. They come from all industries. And it's helped my business, but it's helped me socially because mm-hmm. I find that this is where my friends are. Mm-hmm. And when we know people, then we understand what they're looking for and how to help them not only personally but in business. So it's just been a wonderful experience for me.
And a very open, accepting group. They even let writers in, right?
Or not. Starving writers, right? Absolutely.
So we have with us Anita Paul with Write Your Life. And I love the tagline, the author's midwife. Tell us a little bit about this work. And let's hear about your experience and perspective on ProWin as well, if we could.
Sure, thank you. I am the author's midwife.
I love that.
For a very good
I do
reason.
Love that.
I help people give birth to their books. But I've been a member with ProWin. I'm new. I'm like a newbie. I've only been a member for a few months.
Oh, that'd be great perspective, yeah.
And I have absolutely enjoyed every minute of it. When I came to the table, so to speak, I had some criteria. There's a lot of networking groups out there, a lot of options and opportunities. And I had some criteria for determining which groups I would join. And quite frankly, ProWin met all of my internal criteria. Mm-hmm. I was looking for a group that had a good mixture of career professional women who were in corporate as well as entrepreneurs, business owners. So that was in existence. Mm-hmm. I was looking for an organization that had a clear diversity, not only cultural diversity, but also diversity of background, industry that people were in, length in business, that kind of thing. I didn't necessarily want to start out working or networking with people who were in the startup phase. And so they met that. And not only that, but just the opportunity for clear relationship building. I think that really is a foundation of ProWin. It's not a leads group. It's not where you go in and just pass out a bunch of cards and figure out, you know, who do you know who, you know, needs what I do. It's not just that. That obviously is a huge part of marketing, but I mean of networking. But that's not all the organization is about. So it really is about relationship building.
So I'm sure none of the three of you would confine your networking activities to a women's group, but you've all obviously found some advantage in participating in an organization that is only comprised of women. Can you guys speak to that? May I start with you?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a camaraderie that happens. Kind of, we women just kind of are like a bunch of hens and chicks. We like to chit chat and
oh, Patty.
I'm sorry.
She said the C word.
Sisterhood. Right. Yeah. Sisterhood. There's a bonding that happens between women that inserting men in the picture just alters a little bit. It just changes the dynamic. So you know, sometimes it's good to mix it up, and that's what mm-hmm. all the, there's yeah. so yeah. many, like Catherine says, there's so many opportunities to network. But then there are just things that I think women provide each other that we like to focus on. And it really is women own the domain of relationship.
Well, it's hard being a woman business owner, too. Both my mothers were. And it's tough out there. No one talks about it, but it is really tough out there for you guys.
It is. And I think women network differently than men.
A little better.
Yeah,
maybe.
I do. Well, you said it, not me. Yeah, I think we network a little bit differently. And just as Patty said, it's more about relationship. And I think as a business owner, you know, we go into a lot of opportunities, and I don't think there's anything wrong with this, with the whole WIFM, what's in it for me. I mm-hmm. think that's perfectly fine. But I think with women especially, men too, I'm sure, but especially with women, we look at what can I do for you? How can I help you? You know, and how can we make this more than just a one-time exchange or once a month at a networking event, but really more of a long-term relationship where not only do I have your business card and I'll call you when I know someone who might need relationship help, but I just know, you know, that you exist and what your passions are and what your interests are.
I don't think men do that any different. I don't think men, let me put it this way. I think men do the same thing. They just do it differently.
Mm-hmm. With our ego.
Well, yeah.
Again, you said it.
But I was in BNI. That's how I started my business. And there were a lot of really wonderful men in there who were very helpful, as helpful as the women were. There's just a difference.
And they do have that, as an organization at least, they espouse this giver's gain mentality.
Right.
And I think
they
do try to live into it. My personal experience, and that's really all I can be much of an authority on, is that a disproportionate number of women compared to the men that I've had an opportunity to have business relationships with, that mentality, that mindset, that approach seems to come a little easier to them. They seem a little more comfortable with it. But to your point, I also have there are plenty of gentlemen life that do that. So I want to hear a little bit about your day job, birthing books. Tell us about that.
Oh, it's very interesting. I really believe that everyone has a book in them. Everybody. Okay, so you may not be ready to give birth to it right now. It depends on what trimester you're in or, you know, whether you've conceived yet. But I do believe that everyone has a story to tell. And I primarily work with professionals and entrepreneurs to write mostly nonfiction books, really talking about their knowledge base, the knowledge that they've developed in their careers and in life and how they can transplant that and share that with others. But I, you know, walk people through the entire process of publishing. So whether you come with just an idea or some notes scattered all about or, you know, in a shoebox that you've been collecting over 10 years, or you actually have a complete manuscript that you're ready to publish and you're like, okay, I wrote the book. Now what do I, you know, how do I get it actually in book form? My focus is project management from concept to completion. So I walk authors through, you know, developing a book plan, so that they know why they're writing the book, who they're writing it for, and what those readers should get out of the book, the takeaway. I walk them through outlining the book so that if they have not started writing or even if they have a clear map, a clear direction on where they want to go from once upon a time until the end. Because a lot of people struggle in between, right? They think they know what they want their book to be about, but writer's block comes and life happens and all these other things interrupt and you're, you know, by the time you stop and get back to it, you forgot, you know, what direction you were going in. So that outline is very, very important. And I teach that in the sessions and the presentations that I teach. And then also helping them understand once you get the book in your hand or whether it's an ebook as well, what do you do with it? How do you leverage that book? How do you leverage it? And that's one of the things that most authors don't think about. How am I going to market my book? So it's out, and of course you're thinking about the 50 or 100 or 200 people you know, and you're just 100% sure that they're all going to buy your book. What about the other people?
Definitely. What are the pros and cons of self-publishing, now that you're talking about it?
Yeah. So I do typically steer my clients in the direction of self-publishing, primarily because it's just a quicker way to get to market. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with traditional publishing through a mainstream publisher, but I believe that self-publishing really does help you get there quicker. You have much more control over your final product, the content in the book, what it looks like when you're done, the cover, all that. And even if you go with a traditional publisher, you're going to have to market it anyway yourself. So you might as well.
You might as well keep all the money.
Might as well go. So the downside, I guess, is that you actually have to make the financial investment in your self-published book as opposed to going through a mainstream publisher. Typically, they will pick that up. People have a misnomer, misunderstanding that when you go through a traditional publisher, they're going to give you this big, fat advance, and you're going to make all these royalties, and you're going to be a gazillionaire. Not true. you know, 99% of the time. So I really have gravitated to self-publishing. That industry has grown tremendously in the last 10 years. It has gained a huge increase in its credibility. Back in the day, you know, when you said you were a self-published author, people thought, oh, another crappy one. Book, you know. But I think that authors are learning not to skimp on certain aspects of their books, such as editing. you know, you've read the book with like 50,000 errors. So they've learned not to skimp on editing. They've learned not to skimp on graphic design, because people do still judge a book by its cover. And so a lot of those kinds of things. I talk a lot about that. I have a self-study program, actually, that's called Write Your Book in 90 Days or Less.
Anita, you have such a beautiful command of language. Have you written a book or two?
I've written a book or two.
Okay,
cool. I have. I've got three books under my belt. I'll say three and a half. I've actually written a book called Write Your Life, Create Your Ideal Life, and the book you've been wanting to write, which is really in a journal format to help people turn their journal entries into content for their book. It's sort of a Kickstarter.
What a neat idea.
Yeah, it's cool. I like that book. And then there's also Publishing as a Marketing Strategy. That's a collaborative book I worked on actually with five other authors.
Oh,
and we each have chapters that we've contributed. My chapter specifically focuses on how do you leverage that book. And I think it's really essential for business owners to understand that publishing can be used as a marketing strategy these days. You know, a book of your own is like the new business card, right?
So what was working with four or five other authors?
It was easy.
Really?
It was easy. Project coordinator made it. Actually, we didn't. It's not like we sat in the room and said, let's have a writing session. We all wrote on our own. We had clear direction, and we submitted our chapters individually. There were some parameters, how many words and that kind of thing, and deadlines, and we all were our professionals, so we knew how to meet timelines and deadlines. It was cool. I think it has turned out to be a very, very good book.
I would think that practitioners like Patty and Catherine, I would think that a book or more would do wonders for their practice. So you work with a lot of practitioners, people in the professional services arena?
Absolutely, absolutely. Both of these ladies need a book if they don't have one already.
But we already know they have
we'll
one in them. We
just have my title.
Kevin, do you have a book in you, or do you need some gray hair to have a book, or not necessarily?
Absolutely
so, right?
Not. Absolutely not. Kevin's got a book.
I've got a book inside me.
Do you really? Well, you know, Kevin has been learning a lot, and I've been having some fun. I think you've been hosting the Audio Dust Jacket series and interviewed
a lot of authors. Yes.
Cool. Yeah.
Some more articulate than others, but all a lot of fun, right?
Exactly.
Well, what we did, you know, we're a business-to-business platform here at Business Radio X. We decided, kind of as an experiment, to open this up to some fiction writers. And we really met some interesting people.
Very interesting.
I think we're dialing it back in now to business, but it was fun and
it
got
fun.
Us a lot of activity.
I have some really great stories about how people wrote their books.
And you got a ton of free books, right?
I did. I have a bunch of free books with a bunch of errors.
Yeah, I know. That's the sad part. And it is unfortunate, especially if people pay a lot of money through some of the bigger self-publishing companies. And they don't invest in editing. That's the thing that just, you know, it's like fingernails on the chalkboard to me. But yeah, so, and again, the novelists and poets, those creative types, I love them, and I actually work with some fiction authors. They have a different approach. What I like to emphasize with my clients who are professionals and want to position themselves as experts and you know, the go-to person in their industry is that you have to have a platform, something that you are using that book to leverage. So what do you want to be known for? What do you want to be known as, right? What's your expertise that you're going to be teaching? Because the book is a tool. It's not the end-all and the be-all. You got to think outside the book, right? It's bigger than the book. So what do you want to use that book to do for you? And that, to me, is called leverage. And how are you repurpose that content? It's not just the book. So you can turn it into articles. You can turn it into blog posts. You can turn it into social media posts, a presentation that you might give. So it's bigger than just that book, but it's a great foundation to leverage your business.
I find it very interesting, and maybe I should have recognized it from the get-go, but all three of you, in approaching your market, there's some educational component. You're all doing seminars and it goes back to the serve first mentality, I guess. Plus, it just works, right?
Oh yeah, we got stuff to say.
Absolutely. Well, I think too, it's educational. It's a great thing to go out and tell people. Listen, you don't just have to complain about your life. You can actually affect it positively.
Right.
And I love it when people say, who can I send to you? Who are you looking for? Who's your best client? I said, anyone you know that's complaining about the same thing over and over. Yep. Uh-huh. Let it be a boss, a manager, a job, pay, a husband, a spouse, mm-hmm. a child. Anything in your environment that you're complaining about, you can affect. Usually within yourself. I oftentimes ask people, how can you be okay without anyone else having to change?
Aha. What a great question. That
is, and that's exactly what Patty was talking.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what Patty was speaking of.
And that's, you know, the complaint is really an evidence of powerlessness. I feel powerless, so the only thing I have to do to express this stuff inside me is to complain. So it really is a good indicator that somebody's up, that somebody could use help. Some people are addicted to their complaining and they have no desire to change. But some people complain because they want to change and they don't know how. So education, people don't know what they don't know. And so if they come to me with a problem, I help them name it. I help them, you know, here are some tools. There are a lot of really good relationship tools. There are a lot of really good, you know, you guys provide tools in your own
industry. Absolutely. The resources are abundant.
But you don't know when you don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds like two chapters in your guys' book to me.
we got a half a book here already.
Exactly. All right, Nita, we're meeting with
we
you.
We are so ready. But one of the things, too, I share with clients, even the complainers, okay? So journaling is truly a huge, it's just such a wonderful process. Yeah, it's a release. So take all that stuff you're complaining about, all the stuff that's not working in your life, and rather than tell somebody and, you know, be a downer for them, write it out, and then get to the point where you're coming up with a solution, because complaining for the sake of complaining is a waste of time.
I've grown so much from this conversation, Kevin. I am going to stop trying to change you. Holly, if you're listening, I'm not even going to start trying to change you either. I've already known not to do that. So I want to make sure that we get coordinates for ProWin. Is there a website for ProWin that somebody has committed to memory?
Absolutely. It's just www.prowin.com.
Great. And upcoming events or regular rhythm of events, things that happen at ProWin that we ought to know about and keep everybody...
We have meetings every other month. Uh-huh. We just had one in March, so our next one is in May. But we have some April networking events. There's a wine tasting, members only. Mm-hmm. What else? I just saw an email come through about that.
You had me at wine tasting.
Yep. Yeah.
The percolator. Yeah, yeah. That's where Anita and I met.
Yeah.
So wine and coffee. These folks know how to go to market, right?
Exactly.
We know how to perk it up and wind it down.
Morning, afternoon, and night, right?
Right. Obviously, this is an organization that does a great job, and it's it's only through the strength of its members. It's been an absolute delight having you guys in the studio. Let's go around and make sure that we have contact info for each of you as our listeners want to reach out and learn more about your work and your practice. So we'll start with you if we can.
Okay.
Catherine, what's the best way to get in touch with
Patty
you?
Patty Farinola. The web address is www.theawarenessstudio.com. T-H-E, awareness, studio. Yes, that means three S's.
Nicely played, because I looked at you right in your eyes and called you Catherine. But, but you did a good job.
We didn't catch it, Stone.
I shouldn't have told anybody.
I just wanted people to remember.
But you had Patty memorized, so that's good. That's fantastic.
All right. There are times when I do forget, though.
Yes.
We won't talk about those.
And Catherine?
Yes, Patty Fianola. No, Catherine Graham. My web address is www.cagcoaching.com. That's CAGcoaching.com.
All right. And Miss Anita?
My company is, you can find me at www.writeyourlife.net. And it's obviously write like you write a book. WriteYourLife.net. And if you don't mind, I'd like to just kind of put a quick shout out. I'm hosting a session this Saturday, April 6th, from 10 to 12, called, for all of you people who've been taking forever to write your book, Get Off Your Assets and Write Your Book.
I love it.
So you can go to my website and get some information on that, as well as the books that I mentioned.
Outstanding. Yes. Well, it really has been an absolute delight having all three of you in the studio. I hope you'll come back, get us caught up on new things happening at ProWin and in your own practice. It might be fun to come with a client sometime and kind of and hear a little bit from their perspective about the work that they've engaged with you guys. This has been a lot of fun. Have you grown during this session?
I've grown a lot.
I thought I saw you taking notes.
I got some relationship advice, so my girlfriend's going to love it.
Terrific. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton for Kevin Finn and our guests this morning, Patty Farinola, Catherine Graham, and Anita Paul, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next week on Atlanta Business Radio.